Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime!
How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get another Monday, another week started here on Sports Daily. What a weekend it was for Gary Woodland, the Topeka native, winning his first major. You know, Shane, he's a top 20 player, but would you qualify him as a bit of a grinder out there? And if you did, or you had been, he certainly isn't that anymore. Now he's a major champion.
He didn't play or look like a grinder this weekend.
No, he didn't.
Simply because he didn't make hardly any bogeys. Four all weekend long, which is unbelievable. They only bogeyed four holes. But when you out-duel the guy that had won the previous two U.S. Opens in Brooks Koepka, and not only out-duel him, but kind of keep him at arm's length,
yeah,
there's a little bit of substance to your game, not just grinding and, you know, being able to,
right,
to score. Now, that chip that he had on 17 that was actually from one side of the green to the other, he actually chipped it over the fringe and almost hold it from a, God knows how far that was. And then he jarred his putt on 18 when all he had to do was was three putt it. What that tells me is grind, talent, next big thing, whatever. When you can finish a U.S. Open like that when everybody's chasing you, then you're on the map. I mean, I don't see him, you know, being a flash in the pan or flaming out or whatever. When you can stare down Brooks Koepka and keep him from taking it from you and just snatching it yourself, I think that says a lot about you. Here's another thing. When you're talking about Koepka and Woodland's duel down the end, and to a lesser degree Justin Rose, because he kind of fell off, but doesn't this – I don't want to turn this into a Tiger talk, but doesn't this kind of – fortify or solidify everybody else compared to the Tiger Woods factor or the Tiger Woods effect, because that was great golf to watch down the stretch and Tiger Woods didn't have anything to do with it.
No, it was great. Yeah, and we've had that. In Tiger's absence, we've had kind of the rise of Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy kind of filled some of the void. We've talked about it a lot, the Dustin Johnsons and the Ricky Fowlers and the young guys that have created great interest in the game of golf. Gary Woodland doesn't qualify certainly as one of those young guns. His story is absolutely fabulous, from him growing up in Topeka to going to the University of Kansas, to the tragedy that he's had in his life, to the great blessings that he's had in his life. And all of those stories were told to us over the weekend. I think this weekend underscores kind of what has been a theme on this show for a while now. Golf's in pretty darn good shape. Golf's got plenty of great personalities, plenty of great storylines. It's got guys that can play all over the map. It's not lacking. Now, you throw a Tiger Woods in at Augusta, and it gets even better, obviously. I mean, that moves the needle in a different coin. And Tiger moved the needle, maybe not the way that he would have liked to have, but he moved the needle this weekend, too. We were all paying attention to where he was on Saturday, where he was yesterday to start the round, and you know, we were able to dismiss it pretty quickly. But, no, I think golf is in bring on the Open. Bring on. Let's go across the pond. Let's get that going, because I think it's as good as I can remember, Shane.
Yeah.
With the number of players at a very high level, I think the game is in great shape right now. Wow.
Yeah, I am and have been, and have said so on this show, a fan of the non-Tiger faction, and I happen to you sprinkle in Tiger from time to time and put him in contention. Yeah, there's going to be a lot more eyeballs on TVs, but I like the rest of these guys too. What's on Tap is brought to you by Side Pockets, our good friends out there at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler, where the Monday lunch special is BLT sandwich or a quarter pound cheeseburger, both served with fries for just $5.95 today. We'll give you the bio on Gary Woodland here in just a second. He wins the 2019 U.S. Open, three shots better than Brooks Koepka, who tried to go back to back to back, wasn't able to quite do it. Next segment, we talk about Anthony Davis getting traded to the Los Angeles Lakers over the weekend. Did the Lakers get enough? We'll examine that. Top of second hour, we'll talk to Craig Brown from Baseball Prospectus / Royals Review. What are the Royals going to do with Jorge Bonifacio, Lucas Duda, and Hunter Dozier when Hunter Dozier comes off the DL? So a little Royals talk as they salvage the final game against the best team in the American League, or one of them. Minnesota Twins. Royals move to Seattle starting tonight. And also second hour, O.J. Simpson is on Twitter. What could possibly go wrong on this day in sports history, as well as usual at the end of the show. So we'll talk about that all coming up. But Gary Woodland, for those that didn't know, beyond just being from Kansas, played basketball as a freshman at Washburn. And then decided, that's probably not where I'm going to make my money. So he transferred to KU, started his golfing career there, won two Kansas Amateur Championships, actually played in the 2008 Wichita Open but missed the cut, and he's the first native Kansan to win the U.S. Open since Tom Watson back in 1982, mm-hmm. also at Pebble Beach. A little bit of, not confusion necessarily, but Hale Irwin won, I think, three U.S. Opens. He spent a lot of time in Kansas, but he's not from Kansas. He was born in Joplin, right. And grew up in Baxter Springs and then moved to Colorado. So there's some more Kansas flavor besides Woodland and Tom Watson, but Hale Irwin, not a true Kansas native like Woodland and Tom Watson are. In the process, Woodland finished with the lowest score in the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. He also tied Martin Keimer, who 5 years ago for the second lowest score at any U.S. Open. And this had to feel extra good for Gary Woodland, not just because it's a major, but this was the first time that he held on to win after leading after 54 holes. He was 0-7 in his PGA career when leading heading into a Sunday. He finally won. And I don't know that, you know, Woodland is kind of a Johnny-come-lately in the golf world for sure. Brooks Koepka isn't, but does Koepka get our respect, our admiration, our everything, because he has been a beast in the last six majors that he's entered? He's either won them or finished second in every single one of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's clearly the best player in the world, and as such, carries a different kind of distinction. So, and which, to your point, underscores what Woodland was able to do. I mean, that's a train coming down the tracks when Brooks Koepka gets going.
Yeah.
And Gary Woodland was able to keep him at arm's length. Now, he wasn't playing with him. He was with his buddy Justin Rose. You know, the dynamic of playing in a golf tournament like that is, For those of us that played a lot of team sports, and so did Gary Woodland, by the way, mm-hmm. scoreboard watching is a familiar thing. I mean, you know, I think it would be – it's a very human thing to pay attention to what others around you are doing. But it's so – unless you're a certain type of guy, I think it's really counterproductive in a sport like golf, where you really, first and foremost, have got to just take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You just can't worry about footsteps. You can't hear them. I mean, that's a hard thing to do, and it's always amazed me that when golfers have been able to shut it down and been able to focus and be in that zen-like moment, well, not moment, for about 5 hours out on the golf course, where they're able to really focus in on just what they're doing at the moment. I mean, Tiger Woods says it all the time, you know, live in the moment, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, well, that's easier said than done. But Gary Woodland did that yesterday to a T. I mean, he was absolutely tremendous. He stayed within himself. And when he had to make a shot, was able to make a good enough shot to continue to stiff arm the pretenders around him, including Brooks Koepka. So, yeah, and the fact that he's not a Johnny come lately. He's been out there, what has he got? He had four wins. He's got four wins on tour, six worldwide. It was certainly a different kind of situation for him this weekend. But, you know, he kind of showed his mettle on Saturday. He was unshakable on Saturday. And at what point? Was it not until the chip on 17? Is that when we first – I don't know. I think
he was minus 12 and Koepka was minus 10. I know Koepka was running out of holes. But, hey, he could have gotten loose with his tee shot. You know, it could have gotten to
him. But here's my question to you. When was it that we collectively as fans said, okay, he's going to win this tournament, compared to when he probably first said it? I'll bet you it was a few holes earlier. Now, he wouldn't allow himself to think about that. Mm-hmm. But you got to believe that the manner in which he was playing, with the consistency that he was playing, he probably had a much better sense for it than when we, as fans, probably came around to it. I mean, I don't know. Was it 16? Was it at 17? Probably at 17 when he hit that shot.
That little chip on 17 was...
that was it.
Not only imaginative, but who would even think to chip? I mean, these guys would, because they can do it. But chipping on the green? Talk about... There's no tighter lie than that, and he was only chipping it about 30 feet, you know.
So we saw that a bit.
You chunked that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you chunked that right off of it's, yeah. But we saw that a lot this weekend. You saw guys chipping on greens. So I thought his performance was strong. I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was that great that we had a little skin in the game as – Midwesterners and as Kansans. I thought that was really cool. And on top of it, he's just an incredibly likable guy. I've had a couple of experiences with him over the years, just totally down to earth, just a real human being. I mean, the guy's 35 years old and he's been out there doing his thing for the better part of 10 or 11 years as a pro. But there's no question now. He has a level of legitimacy now that 24 hours ago he didn't have.
Well, and, you know, to your question, like, when did we think it was going to happen? The fact that he was 0-7 when he had held a 54-hole lead kind of brought us pause. You know, it's like, well, he hadn't hung on yet, so, and he's got...
I didn't think he was going to win, Shane.
He's got the current best player of the world breathing down his neck. Now, you asked the question, how do you keep from scoreboard watching in golf? The good thing that Woodland had in his favor was Koepka was in front of him.
Yeah, so that was nice, wasn't it?
Any kind of roar that he ever heard in front of him, he would have known what was going on. And I don't know that there ever was a real big one to rattle him if he's, you know, rattle a bull. But as it stood, Koepka fell just short of becoming the second player to win three straight U.S. Opens. He's first player since Tiger Woods in 06-07 to have four consecutive top two finishes in a major. And like I said, you got to give credit where it's due with Gary Woodland, but the run that Koepka's been on in majors has just been incredible. He finished with a final round 68, setting U.S. Open record with his fifth consecutive round in the 60s, and he became the first player in U.S. Open history to shoot all four rounds in the 60s and not win. So kind of tells you the medal, you know, this is definitely a Woodland versus Koepka Sunday, and the medal that Woodland showed, he doesn't have to take back seat to anybody. And puff your chest out if you want to, Gary, because that was very impressive.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. And his life changes forever now, professionally. Because every time that he's introduced at any tournament, anywhere, he will be the 2019 U.S. Open champion. So, it's awesome. It's just absolutely awesome. And we oversimplify this at times, but this falls into the category of guys you cheer for that get their moment. And, you know, because Gary Woodland is a guy that you can't help but cheer for a little bit. It was a very pleasing win, I thought. And I would have been, look, and Brooks Koepka winning his third straight and chasing down history, what, it hadn't been done since the turn of the last century? Was that something like that? But, my God, Gary Woodland just was able to withstand that and win his own championship. And in the course of that, you know, his very poignant story was told, and on a Father's Day, and I mean, it's really good stuff, really good theater, and really good life too. I mean, you know, it's real. So, congratulations to Gary Woodland. He's a very likable champion, I think.
All right. So, speaking of the Wichita Open and Woodland's failure to make the cut back in 2008, this is the week of the 30th Wichita Open. There will be a couple of pro-ams starting. Well, there's a select pro-am starting today, and then the Marge Page pro-am pairings that's tomorrow, and then that pro-am will be on Wednesday, and then we'll really ratchet it up as Thursday through Sunday. It'll be Wichita Open tournament play, and Saturday and Sunday you'll be able to hear the play-by-play with Mike Kennedy and Jay Delling starting Saturday at 1 and Sunday at 1. Yeah, over on KNSS, 1330 and 98.7, the third and fourth round coverage, if you're not aware of it. There'll be three or four or five of us chasing around the...
Which is so fun.
Yeah, that's the best pairings, whoever's kind of contending for the lead, and we'll bounce around to other players or other groups if somebody starts to make moves, and you can kind of keep track of the web.com guys and who's in the lead. Starting on Saturday at 1 and then finishing up Sunday on 1. Hopefully we'll get good weather.
And extended forecast into the 90s for the first time this season, into Thursday and Friday. So it's going to heat up a little bit. And that always makes things interesting with those greens. And we'll see what the wind does. You always wonder about the wind, but talking about low 90s on Thursday and into the mid-90s on Friday – and then a chance for thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday. Now, this is pretty early in the week, but, we'll see. Always a fun event.
Total
just
purse,
a great event
$625,000. The winner will take home $112,000. And Taylor Eldridge had a little blip in the Eagle today that this will generate $7 million in economic impact for Wichita. And the tournament is expected to bring more than 48,000 people to Wichita. And God knows how many people are going to, you know, file through the gates and go down to 17. There's also a grandstand at the tee on 17, in addition to the grandstands around the green at 17. So it's a party. Like I said, if you haven't been to it,
it is.
Do the best you can to try to get a ticket if you can still get one. Just to walk around. I know the grandstands a couple of the days, I think, are sold out, but go to WichitaOpen.com and it's an easy ticket.
Or if 17 is not your bag, and I'm one of the rare people that it was never really my bag, my deal is getting a group that's intriguing or a guy that's intriguing and following them around and watching course management, the way that they think, what they're thinking, how they play certain shots, where they hit them to. Now, this is for golf guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is for someone that really has an interest in the way the game is played and the thought process for how these guys think and, you know, the decisions to drive over the water versus playing it safely. I mean, there's all kinds of interesting decisions that these guys make, and their talent level is just, it is mind-numbing. So you got that going for you. But
and if you're not and if you're not and if you're not golf guy, go out on the range and watch him hit balls.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no kidding.
Watch how straight and how far those golf balls go every single damn time. They'll make it look like golf is easy. And for us, and for those of us that actually do golf, we'll be like, your jaw hits the ground, you know,
yeah,
with the way they shape shots and that ball goes exactly where they want it to go every single time they hit the ball.
Ben Crane, who won the Wichita Open and has won on tour, told me once that he never, ever has hit a practice shot without something in mind.
Oh, sure.
Without working on something. So there's always method to the madness. So you're right. That's a great place to go and watch these guys in their preparation. All right, we're just getting going. Lakers and Pelicans make a monstrous trade and I think come up winners in very different ways. We'll explain and discuss as we continue in a moment. Shane and Bruce with you rolling. Jad Chambers takes us to break. This is Sports Daily on a Monday on the Sports Station, KFH.
Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.